Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
what's more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
All right, good morning, everyone. Let's go to the Father and pray. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things you've been for us. Thank you for this day and your message. Thank you for your Son, my Lord, and Savior. All this we pray in His name. All right, so I want to cover two different things this morning.
What?
Go cover two different areas. Same topic, but two different areas. And the reason I want to do this is because everybody is just going to start raving crazy over this fact going on in Israel. And there's all kinds of this is going to happen and that's going to happen and, you know, all this stuff. So we want to set the record straight as to what the Bible says. Because a lot of people are taking little verses out of context and turning them into all kinds of things. So I'm going to go to Matthew 24 to start this. And I'm not going to start at the very beginning of it. We're going to jump down to verse 4. But before we do, let's put this in the context as well. Okay. This is right after the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Okay. And where he's talking here happens to be the exact same day, because this happened in the morning, or this is in the evening time where we're talking about now. But earlier in the day was the same day that whenever we walked by the fig tree and he cursed the fig tree, the exact same day. That was in the morning. This is in the evening, which is also a vital point to remember, because Christ says a couple times, actually, remember the fig tree. You know, what's the fig tree got to do with us? What's it got to do with the fact that that fig tree wasn't producing any fruit, which is talking directly to us, because he talks about fruit. Whenever he's doing his messages out there, you know, if you don't produce fruit, remember the fig tree. So that kind of also puts a little kibosh on this once saved, always saved stuff. So, nonetheless, but we're at the Olivet Discourse. And you got a bunch of these pre-tribulational dispensationalists that say that all of the discourse is only to the Jews. So I'm going to show you blatantly where that's wrong. But we also are going, while we do this, explain some of the things that's going on right now, some of the things that people are saying. And most of those are pre-tribulational dispensationalists as well. So we're going to start. Actually, we'll start with verse 3. And, as he said, upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things, plural word there, things, be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the age, or the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's probably the most important word in here. Quote in here, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Okay? So we got two things that he's telling us, don't worry about. You need to be aware of them, don't worry about them. They ain't got nothing to do with the end times. Okay? There's people coming up to you, they're coming up and saying that they're the Christ. That started all the way back when Christ was still here. Not 30 years after he died, there was already people saying that he was the Christ. And that's why Thessalonians was actually written just to counter these kind of people. Because if you remember when Paul was talking about the end times, that's what he was doing. He was trying to tell them that, no, this isn't the end times because of these false gods and things that were going on out there. And the wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Now stop right there. Okay? Everybody thinks that it's nation against nation, it's country against country. It's not. It's the different ethnic background, different religious background, whatever the case may be. It's not nation against nation. The word is ethnos in the Greek, or if it's taken from the Greek. Which literally means what I just said. They're peoples, let's just put it that way. Everyone, they're white against black, or Christian against Muslim, or Buddhist, or whatever. These are ethnic factors. Kingdom against them, kingdom against kingdom. Now that's country against country. Okay. And there shall be famines and pestilences in earthquakes and diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So these things are the things you need to, whenever you see these things, you know, different ethnic groups fighting each other, different countries starting to fight each other, and all kinds of earthquakes taking places, and pestilences and things of that nature, and all the rest of it, all that stuff that's going on at the exact same time, that's when you need to start getting your neck massaged to get it worked up. But it has to be all of them at the same time. Okay? All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now here's what is telling you you need to start looking up for. Okay? Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. All right, let's stop right there. For my name's sake. Now these dispensationalists and pre-tribulationists say that this chapter right here, this all the discourse, was written just for the Jews. The Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ. That one sentence right there just takes it out of the picture. Because they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, another big question, and I've said it many times, words have meanings. Every word in this Bible means something. The word they. Simple little four-letter word. Think about who the they is. Now that's vitally, crucially important. We're going to discuss who they are in a minute. But I want you to understand that right there. Right. Now, and then, after the whole killing process has started, and then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Okay? Verse 10 is talking about the great falling away that's going to happen. That's literally what it says. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Okay? That's telling you right there, verse 10, that the guy or gal that's sitting right next to you in the pew very well can turn on you and turn you into the they have you killed or just. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax old. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then, and only then, shall the end come. I'm going to stop right there. That, in and of itself, puts everything into a nutshell. So that, all this stuff that they're talking about, you know, all these preachers on TV and on the internet and YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. And oh, good gracious, we're here. You need to, Christ is on his way right now. This war in Israel, this is the start of Armageddon and all this stuff. Remember that first thing? Remember, take heed that no man deceive you. Very crucially important. Discernment is a must at this particular time. Now, I'm not saying that the war in Israel, it's not pathetic. I'm not going to say that. But it's not pathetic in this sense. Yes. I want to cover a couple of things, and then we'll go to Daniel 8, because Daniel 8 is more explained a little bit better on some of this stuff. But there are 12 things that have to happen, and they're listed. These 12 things are both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That's why it's important, crucially vital, if you understand and study the entire Bible, not just bits and pieces, particularly not just verses. Okay? There's 12 things that will happen before Christ actually comes. Okay? 12 of them. Very first thing, is a change in UN governance. Okay? I say a change in UN governance, you've heard me say a one world order. But that's what I'm talking about, one world order. This change in UN government, or governance, officially happens in September of next year. That's whenever they're called to meet to vote on this whole new referendum that they're going on. September of next year. That's when so officially you can say that we have a one world government in September of next year, provided they sign it. The politicians, or who knows, there may be another year, but it's another reason why you can't say that it's going to happen today or tomorrow. Okay? Now, this next one that I'm going to tell you about is we're going to explain it a little bit better here in a little bit. But the next thing that's going to happen is Turkey and Iran's going to be in a war. And from this war between Turkey and Iran, Turkey's going to whoop their butt. And they're going to, the country of Turkey's going to take over Iran. And you're going to have a one little kingdom over there. Okay? And you say, well, that can't happen. Well, that was literally what that was going on just a little over 100 years ago. It's called the Ottoman Empire. So don't think that that can't happen. And guess where the headquarters of the Ottoman Empire was? It was Istanbul, Turkey. But that's got to happen. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more whenever we get into the analytic. But the third thing that's going to happen is this one world government that's going to come in, and they're going to divide this Turkish Empire, or the new Ottoman Empire, the Caliphate, or however you want to say it. They're going to come in, and they're going to divide this area into four sections, cut it up just like they did after World War One, the Balfour Declaration. They're going to divide up this new empire into four. Okay? And out of that, you're going to have 10 kings that's going to arise. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that all these 10 kings are going to come out of this, where that empire was, because I personally think the 10 kings is going to come out of the entire world. They've already got the world divided up into 10 little sections. But out of that, you're going to have the little horn rise up, which is the Antichrist. Okay? And after you get the Antichrist is coming on the scene, he's not a big man. He hadn't taken power. But that's where he's going to be coming out of. He's going to start his political moves. After the 10 kings arise. And there's going to be a revolt against this one moral government. Okay? Then, after this revolt, 10 kings, and that's how we know that it's a revolt, 10 kings are going to give their power, or they'll give authority to the Antichrist. And that's when he takes over. Okay? Shortly after he takes over, he's going to be shot or something. Okay, he's going to take a head wound, and he's either going to be killed or it's going to appear that he's going to be killed. And then shortly after that, after 3 days, because he's mocking gods, by the way, after 3 days, he's going to come back to life. Okay, so he'll have a resurrection, so to speak. I've got my own thoughts on that too, but I'm not here to touch that. And then shortly after that, the Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to take out three of those 10 kings. And after he does that, because he's got his power seat set, and that's whenever he goes and sits his fanny down in the temple. Or I shouldn't even say the temple, but he's going to sit on the seat of God. You don't necessarily say temple, but sit on the seat of God. Then, and only then, does the Great Tribulation start. Okay? People have a hard time understanding that the seals is not the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation starts after the seals. Okay? Everybody calls the whole 7-year period the tribulation. It's not. The Great Tribulation is 3.5 years. The seals, the first part of it. And I could argue that it's not even 3.5 years. I could argue that's really only one, but I'm not going to get into that either. But that's neither here nor there, because some of that's semantics. But the point is, we need to be aware. We need to make sure that nobody takes heed and deceives you. And understand and read the Bible thoroughly. Do your study thoroughly. And for goodness sake, do not pay attention to what all these people are saying in the news, because it's all propaganda. It's all propaganda. And I'm going to say this because there's all kinds of propaganda being spread. Major propaganda being spread for this stuff going on in Israel. Okay? Smell it good, smell it bad. So, couple things, and this is all part of the deception to get you to take one side or the other. Okay. It's important to also understand that when the Bible is talking about Israel, 90% of the time, talking about people. We're not talking about a country, talking about people. I've been having one of them pulling push kind of scenarios going on with me, because I know I'm supposed to support Israel, but then again, I don't necessarily agree with some of the things country of Israel.
Our country and our government.
Right. I don't have to, and that's exactly what I was thinking.
Right.
You know? I don't have to agree with the country, but I can agree with the people. And that's what I've came to the conclusion that we need to do as a country, and that's what people seem to do. They can't separate the country from the people, which is ultimately where I'm wanting to go to now. I'm not going to go into a big history lesson here. But Palestine, the Palestinians, are not all Muslims. They're not Hamas, okay? The Palestinians are not Hamas. Now, these Hamas, Palestinians, yes, but they're not the same. It's like, I'm an American, but I don't work for the government. I just assume that they can use their mind to do away with watching. I don't want nothing to do with it. But I am an American. I'm proud of them. So that's what you need to understand. And if you go back in history, and I'm not going to get real deep and elaborate in this, all the way up till 70 A.D., that was called Judah. After 70 A.D., and Romans kicked the factions out of there, which, you know, prophesied for Christ, kicked them out. The Romans called it Philistia. They changed the name from Judah to Philistia, which ultimately got changed over to Palestine, over, you know, through different interpretations and the way people changed names over the course of time. So they named it, the Romans named it Palestine. There was still Jews there. At that time, there was Christians there. There was Muslims, because there wasn't such thing as a Muslim at that time. But all these people were there. And then over the course of time, these people stayed there, and they lived there, and it was called Palestine. So it wasn't the Muslims that changed it to Palestine. It had nothing to do with the Muslim faith or anything of that nature. These people have been living there for the last 2,000 years. Okay? Over the course, you know, after the Muslims came online, in 600 A.D., then they started their little mess, and they forced some of them to change over to be Muslims. But there were still Jews living there, and there were still Christians living there, and some of them got converted over to Islam, but nonetheless, there were still all these groups there. And all these groups lived semi-harmoniously for the next 2,000 years. And then all of a sudden, you had this political group. And it is a political group called Zionists. And they come in and they wanted to take over the whole area right there for political reasons. Mainly for resources. But we're not getting into that right now. I say, you know, keep it short and sweet. But the Zionists came in and they started pushing their political agenda. And then they had this thing called the Balfour. I can't remember the guy's name. It's escaping. At any rate, after World War I, they created, for the most part, they created Israel after World War I. And then all the people started coming in there. And as all these people started coming in, and the biggest part of them came in right before, or right during the beginning of World War II, the late 30s, all these people inundated this area, started pushing out the people that were living there, because they said, well, this is our land, people that were living there were still Jews, still Christians, and yes, Muslims. Okay. So they ultimately pushed all these people over into what's now the Gaza Strip, and over on the other side and the Golan Heights. Which Golan Heights is actually part of not Syria, but Jordan, part of Jordan. That's where the Golan Heights is. So, at any rate, they pushed all these people over into these little areas. And over the course of the many wars that they had, the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War and all this stuff, they wound up taking more and more property and pushing people further and further away. My point is, by saying all that, to be short, the people that were there originally, whether they be Jew, Christian, or Muslim, they were all considered Palestinians, and all of them got isolated and got moved over into these areas. Okay? There are Christians in Gaza, there are Jews in Gaza, and there are Israelis in Gaza. Okay? Contrary to popular belief, the vast majority of them do not agree with Hamas. Okay. So be careful. It's important to be careful and understand, take heed that no man deceives you. That all these people are bad people, because they're not. There are some bad people there. Nobody's denying that. But that don't make the country, and I don't like using the word country, but using the country of Palestine against the country of Israel, okay? You got Israeli people that got killed, and you have Palestinian people that got killed. These are people, a country. These are people that got killed. Those are factions do what they want, but you need to keep a more Christian open mind on all this stuff, because they are people, and we are to love all people. Just, you know, what would Jesus do? Keep that in mind. Okay? Don't put people grouped in the same as country. That's what I'm saying. So I know I've said some things a couple services ago. I know it takes people off because I was talking about Israel and I was talking about Palestine. But you got to separate. Countries and people are two different things. I certainly don't agree with about 99% of what our country is doing right now. Actually, I agree with about 99% of what this country has done for years. That don't mean that I'm not an American. You got to keep all this stuff separated in your mind, certainly in your heart. Now, let's move on to something else. I don't know if some of you may have heard about it, some of you may not. I'll try to keep this short. I mentioned the Mahdi, okay, which is the Muslim Messiah, so to speak, Muslim Christ, whatever. Okay. And some of you may have seen where they raised the black flag on top of the mosque there. This mosque that they've got there, inside the mosque is supposedly the body of their 12th Imam, 11th Imam, or 6th Imam, or the 2nd Imam. That's where they're entombed at, and it's a sacred place for particularly the Shia Muslims. But that flag, the media, that's fishing, anyway, saying, they're saying that this is the first time that the flag's been raised and it's a call to war. And then you got the Muslims going, no, this ain't a call to war. This is, you know, it's a time of mourning for the people that died in Gaza, which for the layman person, that's possibly very, very true. They honestly do believe that. But the people in the know, the dwellers, so to speak, this is sign for them to let everybody know that their 12th imam is about to come back on the scene, Lord Christ is about to come back on the scene. And that's when you dig deep into the their scriptures as well. And I use that term loosely, but whenever you dig into their scriptures, you find that that's exactly what it means. And that's exactly what it's for. Because they only raise that flag, it gets raised ever so often. So it's not literally the first time it's been raised. They do it every season or so in honor of the 12th imam. Not the 12th imam, but the second imam. And this is what we raised for the day. We did that last year for the second imam, which they do ever so often in his honor. This one was raised for the 12th imam. So they're telling the world that they're getting ready to let their 12th imam be known. Yes. Which, by the way, it's important because we just talked about some of the things, the 12 things that has to happen. Well, Iran, which is where this is at, it's Shia Muslim. And they believe that their Christ is the 12th imam. The Sunni Muslims, which is Turkey, they don't believe that. They believe that their Messiah, Christ, comes from a straight line from Muhammad through his daughter Fatima, comes a straight line from him, and he'll show up. You know, at the end times, both of them saying at the exact same time, and all. But they have a problem of who their Christ is. Okay? But us as Christians, we know who Christ is. Now, they're split. And this will be a holy war over who that is. That's where this war between Turkey and Iran comes from. It's a fight over power. It's a fight over who their Christ is. So that's important to understand. Dig a little bit deeper in On top of that, Netanyahu, the president of Israel, just quoted Isaiah 60 on national television. I'll read the verse. He read on national TV. He says, "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, as thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise." And that was the verse that he read. And then he went on to say that they were going to be victorious whenever in this war and all that stuff. Now, if you read the whole context of what the whole little section there is, again, taking stuff out of context, but that whole, if you go up, you know, read verse 18, if you were read verse 17, it's plainly, clearly about Christ. We're talking about Christ there. And one other thing I want to read to you, and this is out of their series, the Muslim series, talking about that black flag. It says, remember that mosque is in Khorasan. And this is out of their stuff. I don't like reading their stuff inside church, but at the same time, it's important you understand that you get a better understanding of where these people come from, because their Christ is our Antichrist. Khorasan is the place where the body, their Christ, will be when the final war starts. And this is literally out of their scripture. Then another one says, the black standard will come from Khorasan. Nothing shall turn them back till they, from the standard, are planted in Jerusalem. Okay? So that's their whole point. That's their whole thing behind all this stuff. It's been, like I say, it's important to understand, get the full context of the worldly section, as well as what's going on in the Bible. Then we're going to go, and I'm not going to read it all, we're going to do just part of it, and so it's it late. Let's go to... Go to chapter 8 of Daniel. And this, if you remember the things that we just talked about here, when I put this stuff in perspective, you can see why all this is going to take place. And understand, you never do this. This is going to explain a little better, but I'm going to give you a heads up. But the ram that it's talking about is Iran. And the goat that it's talking about here is certain. And here it calls it Greece. And in some versions it calls it Zabon. You know, the actual Greek versions, whenever in the Septuagint, you go to and read from the Septuagint, you call it Zabon, which is ultimately because Greece, whenever this was actually written, was what is now Turkey. Okay. So don't think that it's actually the whole country of Greece right now. It's not just talking about Turkey. Okay. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and then it came to pass, I saw that I was in Shushan, in the place where it is in the province of Elam, which is all this is in modern-day Iraq, Babylon. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Elam. And I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram. There's two horns. The two horns were high. The one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Okay, let me stop right there and explain to you who the two horns are. In Shia Islam, and we know this right now already, you've got the Ayatollah, which is the Imam. Okay? He's in charge of that country. Iran is literally ran by the religion. The Ayatollah, which is an imam, he runs the country. Even though they've got a president or a prime minister, I think they've got a president, which is the figurehead, but the Ayatollah is the guy that actually runs it. Okay? So you've got two heads of special. and the fire came up last. And remember, well, we can take this two different ways. We can look at it strictly this way I just said it, which is still factual and true because remember they had the president and the Ayatollah. Or you can also look at it as the Ayatollah and the little horns, which is the way that I choose to look at it. Whenever I'm reading this, because the Ayatollah and the little horn, which is the Antichrist, for their false Christ, I don't want to call on him the guy that's this guy, the Antichrist, yet. Yeah, he's going to come up out of it. So their false Christ, their Mahdi, so to speak, he's going to come up afterwards. And he's going to take control of the country over the Ayatollah. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, as he did according to his will and grace. And as I was considering, now let's stop right there. Now we see right before our eyes, and by the way, the U.S. did this, but Iran is getting bolder right now. They're getting big. They're getting, I ain't gonna say they're getting powerful, but they're surely getting emboldened. And they're getting emboldened with our money, the U.S.'s money, because over the course of the last 20 years, we have given them over $100 million. And that's a lot of money. That's, yep. You can get really emboldened with $100 million.
Feed to the baby.
So, they're, and they are. They're all kinds of stuff all over the Middle East. And by the way, I just want to point out something else before we get too wrapped up in this. Two things whenever this war started have absolutely stopped. Two things. Two actually important things. Now, I'm not saying that it will stop, but it still may be going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of, but they were certainly taken out of the public side. Okay. That was number one, the thing that was going on between Israel and Saudi Arabia. They were coming in, you know, with the Abrahamic Accord. And then the second thing that was supposed to happen, and it very well may have happened, we won't know about that until after the fact. And all this may be part of it. We need to keep everything hidden from the eyes. And that wouldn't surprise me a bit, because the Israelis are slick. They do all kinds of things. But they're like magicians over there. Get you centered over here while they're doing something over here. And that was, they had all these red heifers over there. They had six of them. And they all became eligible this month of October. It's when they all became eligible to be the red heifer. Okay? When they're sacrificed, when they had to have the red heifer before they could start the daily sacrifice. And there's something else that has to stop. Got to start before it can stop. That's going to stop. Red heifer. And then we're getting ready to slaughter that red heifer right around the 15th or so of October. Nobody, you ain't heard nothing about that stuff in a while. So, they've all come to big talk about it right here before, and then all of a sudden, boom, nothing. I'd say that may be something that they did off on the side, so nobody knows anything about it. You can't find anything or anybody talking about it right now whatsoever. But those are the two things as far as the Israelis go that we need to at least keep in mind. Right, so, and I was considering, behold, when a goat came from the west, and on the face of the whole earth, and touched the ground, the goat had a noble horn between its eyes. And he came to the ground, and with two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him close up unto the land, and he was moved with cloak. He was moved with horror, and against him he smote the ground, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the land to stand before him. But he was cast down to the ground, and stomped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones for the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came the four, a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. Pleasant land being Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And I'm going to stop right there. So some of that stuff we just read is actually back here in Revelation, which I support it. Read the whole thing, get a better understanding of it. But the little horn that come up out of the four, remember we're talking about that being split up into four sections. The little horn comes up out of the four, and that's where the Antichrist comes from. And I'm gonna stop there because we keep going, then soon it's gonna get into something we're not gonna be able to finish. Probably the day. Now, Actually, let's do it. Let's go ahead. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto a certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the translation of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and had softened the mean, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end, for the time of the end shall be the vision. Okay? And I'm going to stop right there, because you got many, many people out there that say that this whole mess was when Antipas slaughtered the pig back in whatever year it was, before Christ, in the time of the Maccabees. Okay? So that's what this whole mess was about. Okay? So right there. For at the time of the end shall be the vision. So that kind of throws that whole theory out the window as well. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of indignation, for the time appointed, the end shall be. So we got three times right there in a row, he's saying that this is the end times. The ram, which thou sawest, having two horns, are two kings of Media and Persia. Okay? So that right there tells us that the ram is Iraq. I mean, Iran. Okay? And the rough goat, this is king of Greece. Remember, we talked about what Greece was. Back then, at that time frame, was a whole area of Turkey. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And, let me stop right there. I don't know how many of y'all have heard it, but I've heard it two, three times. And a lot of people out there that think Erdogan, which is the president of Turkey, very evil man, by the way. A lot of people think that he's an Antichrist. He's not. At very best, he can be the first one. It's the first king. Now, that being broken, whereas four stood upon it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And that's how they split the kingdoms of Turkey and Russia, or Iran. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, the king of fierce confidence and understanding, dark sentences shall stand. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and baptize, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore shut up thy vision, for it shall be for many days. Now Daniel fainted and was sick for certain days afterward, and I rose up and did the king's business, as I was astonished at the vision, but none understood. So, again, this was to be shut up so nobody could literally understand it to the end of times, whenever all the pieces were in play. Okay? And now all the pieces are in play. all this stuff is just, in my opinion, blatantly obvious as to what's going on. Which, by the way, because it is now blatantly obvious, whenever you read it and you see it, you can understand it. That means that the vision has been unsealed, which means we are definitely in the end times. Okay? So going back to the beginning now, we need to remember the fig tree. By remembering the fig tree, we need to spread the message. We spread the message as much and as often as we can to let everybody know who our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Remember the fig tree. Yeah. The ones that don't produce fruit are fucked up. That's why Israel was fucked up. They weren't producing any fruit at the time. And they were grafted in. They were grafted into the tree of Israel, which makes us Israel on top of that. You need to remember, don't let no man deceive you. Means don't believe anything that you read on the TV or hear on the TV and read in the newspapers, and certainly what you see on the internet. Take it, combine it with what the Bible says and get what truly is going on. And you just see the vast majority of everything I read today, the vast majority of everything I read today, it's almost word for word in the book of Revelation. Okay. Almost word for word in the book of Revelation. People get scared of the book of Revelation because it's fusion, you know, monsters and beasts and boars and harlots and all this kind of stuff. They use those terms because those were terms that the people at the time that the book was written would understand. It's nothing hard about it. You just got to know what all those symbols mean. You get all what all those symbols mean. Or even the Old Testament, because that's what describes it. Very simple. Not hard to understand. You may have to periodically see what, you know, pull up a map, a lot of Bibles. This one, but I got one at home. It's got maps of the old world at the time all this stuff was done. He lists all these countries as what they were then. And you can take that, transpose it over a map today and see what the countries are today. Figure out all this stuff. It's not hard. But I highly encourage you to study the Bible. Not just for you, but to study it. And understand the end times. And I promise you, that a lot of stuff that you've heard over the years, particularly about the end times, you don't come to a conclusion that it's not the same as what you've heard. Some of it will be, some of it won't be. The reason being is these things are coming, these books that explained all this stuff are being opened now. They went with the death nine saying that anybody was trying to deceive anybody whenever they said what they said. But they didn't understand. They didn't have the big picture. Well, now we're getting the big picture. So now it's time for you to back up, see the forest instead of just the trees. See the big picture. And with that, I'm going to close. Just remember, study. Not read. Study. Never, ever, ever take a verse from it. Take the whole context of what they're talking about. They'll understand what's really going on. All right, so let's go to the Father in prayer. Sorry. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, and most importantly, thank you for your sons. And Lord, we pray for all the people that are being killed and being murdered in the Middle East right now. Both on the Palestinian side and the Israeli side, we pray for all of us. We pray for your word is being spread. They come to you. And Father, we pray for all the babies that are being killed in the home, all the people that are being martyred for you. We We pray that we can get your word out and spread your word and talk to you. We pray all this in your name.